You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're trying to get Mike DeFabo on the phone from Latrobe. That shouldn't be that difficult, but there's no training camp out there, DeFabo. What are you still recovering from your mother's birthday party last weekend? How did the Linstock go?
Hey, it went great. My brother was in town. People came in from far and wide to celebrate my mom's birthday. And here in Westmoreland County, we get no cell phone service. So you're talking to me on the landline. We're like going back to the 90s just so we could talk some hockey right now. It's great.
Does it have like the little wind up, you know, the real tightly wound cord? Is it is it hanging in the kitchen? Where is this old school phone that you're on?
I would love if it was one of those ones where you put your finger in it and you spin the dial.
Yes, rotary phone. Yeah.
Yeah, real old school, but we're talking, it is actually a portable phone, unfortunately, but yeah, it is crazy. There's no cell phone service out here. We have to talk to Comcast or something like that, get something figured out here.
No, we have to, he was talking much more old school than that. He was talking like the wind up and with the detached headphone like you see back in the 30s.
And here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a couple styrofoam cups, and we're going to string them from Latrobe
all the way here
to Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Get a piece of string.
We'll make it work,
and we'll figure it out that way.
Okay. Well, happy 39th birthday to Lynn DeFabo. We hope she enjoyed the weekend and you guys all behaved yourselves. Mike DeFabo on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by the Workers' Compensation Law Firm of Hall and Capitis. It sounds like Ron Hextall, just judging by his comments yesterday, Mike, is in some sort of fresh salary cap hell this offseason and really doesn't even expect to be engaged that much on the free agent market. Are Pens fans going to be okay with that conservative style, that conservative approach, and does it make sense for this team with where they're at right now?
I'm not even sure it's a conservative approach as much as it's an approach that he's going to have to take out of necessity. So the way that Ron Hextall talked yesterday when he spoke with the media, they anticipated they were going to be about $3 to $3.5 million over the salary cap had they not made these trades of Jared McCann and not lost Brandon Tanev in the expansion draft, which makes a lot of sense. You know, people were saying when they lost both McCann and Tanev, they were saying, well, they lost two players, but you have to figure they lost their salaries as well. And even if they had just stood pat because of the salary cap situation, there's no telling whether they would have been able to afford a guy like Zach Aston-Reese or whether they would be able to afford to re-sign their own free agents such as Freddie Goudreau or Evan Rodriguez if they're looking to add some depth. Or, you know, I don't think that they're going to have salary cap space for a guy even like Cody Ceci. So they were going to lose players anyway because of their salary cap situation. And you look around the league, the Philadelphia Flyers just gave away Shane Gostisbehere and picks for absolutely nothing. They traded him away for absolutely nothing just to get salary cap space because that's just the situation around the league. Everyone kind of anticipated a couple years ago the salary cap was going to be like $86 to $88 million, and then due to the pandemic and the flat $81.5 million cap, every team around the league is in a tough position right now. So he's trying to free up some cap space, and I think that you can't judge his moves right now independently. You can't just look at the McCann trade and say, was this on his face a fair and equal trade? You have to wait until you see what are they going to do with the salary cap space before you really rate that move, in my opinion.
Mike, you know what's weird? And I know that if you go to like Cap Friendly, for example, which I have pulled up right now, and it says they have $7 million in space, that's deceptive, right? Because that's only 18 players. And so even if you add in, like you pointed out, Zach Aston-Reese and some other guys, even if you sign guys at the minimum, that takes you almost up to the cap. So I think that's what he was getting at there. But the other thing where I'm going now is maybe you're thinking, okay, well, how are they going to create more cap space? Let's say maybe they can find a taker for Jason Zucker, but they would have to pick up some of his salary. But then if you look at losing Tanev and then McCann, is that they kind of don't have any guys left. So it's really a challenge to try to fill out the roster here, because it's not just as easy as trading a guy to free up more cap space, because they need some NHL players.
Yeah, the thing is not just to save the money. You don't just get to put this money in your back pocket and go spend it however you'd like. You do have to fill out your NHL roster, and McCann and Tanev were two critical players for the Penguins. You know, McCann was a guy who played third-line minutes. You know, sometimes he stepped into the top six as a winger. He could play center when you needed him to. Tanev, everyone knows what he brought in terms of his energy, in terms of his kind of maniac personality in terms of the dressing room. So you did lose important players, and you are going to have to replace them. And now it's just a matter of who replaces them. So yesterday, Ron Hextall was asked, what do you plan to do and how do you plan to fill it out? And he said, you know, they have some candidates in-house. You know, this could create an opportunity for a Nathan Legere or a Sam Pullen of the world. They also thought that Philip Hollander, he mentioned him as a player who he said that if he doesn't compete for a roster spot this training camp, you would expect him to compete for a roster spot at least next year. So, you know, it seems like they're going to have to go that direction where they're going to have to find some younger guys who fill some spots. I would also anticipate they haven't made any kind of secret that they hope to change the identity of the roster to some degree. And they'd like to get some bigger, tougher kind of players. And this could give them an opportunity to do something like that. It's just a matter of, you know, how can they fit them under the salary cap given their current cap restraints?
You know, I don't know how many times last year that Sam Lafferty was asked, you know, via Zooms about trying to play like Brandon Tanev. Does he want to model himself after Brandon Tanev? And he does have that kind of game in him. He's certainly fast enough to do it. But can he become that kind of a player this quickly?
I don't think so. It would be great if he would, but to this point, he isn't. You know, Brandon Tanev was a guy who was nearly 30 years old who had realized that this is the way he was going to make it in the NHL. You know, I wrote a profile about Brandon Tanev when he came to the Penguins where he quit hockey for 4 years. He was considered too small. No team wanted him in junior hockey, and because of that, he kind of had this approach where he had this hair-on-fire playing style. He was always throwing his body around, and he found the line. And this is a big thing with Sam Lafferty. Brandon Tanev was able to play physical and play right on the border with reckless abandon without committing penalties. And Sam Lafferty led the team in penalties last season, even though he, in terms of forwards, even though he played like half the minutes that Brandon Tanev did. And that's the thing with Sam Lafferty. It's like, you know, he's still a young guy. He's still trying to figure out what he's going to be in the NHL. But they plugged him into that line thinking he would be a similar player because of his speed and because of his physicality. But it was not the same. It certainly was not the same. But he's a cheaper option, and I would assume that he's going to be one of the first guys that they look to fill one of those holes, and we'll have to see if he can progress in now what's going to be his third NHL season. But they're gonna need to find some affordable guys like Sam Lafferty to step up and fill roles for sure, given their cap constraints.
He covers the Pens for the Post-Gazette. Mike DeFabo with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Ron Hextall didn't sound like he's in any kind of rush to start negotiating extensions for Evgeny Malkin or Chris Letang. Understanding Malkin's situation is in flux because of the injury. It struck me, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, Mike, that this just seems like it's all building up towards this team going through a massive overhaul over the next 2 to 3 years. And next offseason is sort of the fulcrum point for that, with Rust, with Malkin and Letang, all free agents. Do we expect all three of those guys to be back after their contracts end this following summer?
It's a good question, and I don't necessarily have the answer for you, but what I can tell you is Ron Hextall has said that he sees a future with the core, and that includes Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang. So those are his public comments, and when he said that he had extensions on the back burner for those guys, it sounds to me like he's planning to negotiate this offseason and get deals in place going into next year. And we'll have to see if that's actually the case. I do wonder with Malkin whether they'll table those discussions due to his injury situation and maybe wait. But like I said, they've said that they see a future with this core. Those guys are eligible to start negotiating. In terms of Rust, I'm curious to see how it will unfold. At this point, I haven't been told anything one way or the other in terms of what will happen with him, but you could see different ways that you could approach this situation where he's a guy that no Penguin has scored more goals over the past two seasons than Brian Rust, which is a wild thing to say on a team with Evgeny Malkin and Jake Guentzel and Sidney Crosby. For Brian Rust to be the guy that leads the team in goals over the past two seasons, that's obviously a lot of value. And right now he makes a very affordable, you know, $3.5 million. So the question with him is really, how much of a pay raise is he going to get, and are you willing to be the team that gives it to him? Or is this a point where you look at his 1 year left and you say, now is a good time to trade this guy while he still has a lot of value? So, you know, those are just kind of the approaches that the Penguins could take. I don't know what they'll ultimately choose. I think that they would value a player like that, and if you trade another member of your forward core, you're really creating a lot of holes. So I would think that they would want to have him be part of the Penguins next season. But, you know, Ron Hextall is a guy who plays his cards close to the vest. You don't really know exactly what he's thinking. So it'll be interesting to see with those three guys how things unfold over the next couple weeks or months heading into this next season.
You know, Mike, by my quick count, they have $13 million tied up in the three guys that played defense on the left side. And obviously, they're not going to, you know, Dumoulin's here to stay. They're not going to do anything with him. Matheson might be untradeable. Patterson might be the most tradable. Is there something they can do with those three guys, considering that they've got Pierre-Olivier Joseph waiting in the wings? He looks like he, you know, should be given a chance to play at the NHL level. Is that a place where they could make a move?
Yeah, two things on that. You know, Patterson has always seemed, since the middle of last year when P.O. Joseph first emerged, he seemed like a very obvious trade target, and he remains a very obvious trade target. I don't know whether they'll find a suitor for him, but you know, in a situation like this where Ron Hextall is trying to clear salary cap space, paying a left-handed defenseman more than $4 million to play on your third pair is not a good way to stay cap compliant, especially, as you mentioned, Jim, when you have a guy like P.O. Joseph who, you know, he's pretty close to the NHL if he's not there, and you have other options, whether that be Mark Friedman, whether that be Juuso Riikola, whether that even be Chad Ruedel playing his offside. You know, you have other options if you're trying to just straight up save money. In addition to that, Pettersson is a guy that he's big at 6'3" in terms of his length, but doesn't play big, and he's mobile, but he doesn't play fast. So I don't know that he fits Mike Sullivan's idea of a super fast kind of defensive team, and I don't know that he fits the new regime's vision of a big bruising defenseman. So he's this guy that's expensive, he's a good defenseman. You know, he's solid, he's decent, but I don't know that he's worth the value right now. And so if you could find a taker for him, he has always seemed like a very obvious guy. But that being said, the discussions I've had with Ron Hextall about P.O. Joseph are that he's in the minors because that's where he belongs. And I asked him, would you feel comfortable with P.O. Joseph starting next year in the NHL Game 1? And essentially he said no. Essentially he said he feels like he needs a little bit more polishing before he's ready to step up to the NHL. Now, was that Hextall trying to create a little bit of leverage and make it seem like they weren't desperate or eager to trade Pettersson? I don't know. Or was that really how he believes and he feels like now's not necessarily the time to do something like that? But I think you're right on the money, Jim. I think that if there was one player that I would say is a likely trade candidate, Pettersson would be very near the top of my list on that.
Mike, great stuff. Is 8-year-old Michael DeFabo still elbowing old church ladies out of the way at the Chuck-a-Luck wheel to try and make a few bucks?
Yeah, I love that. Yesterday you guys were talking about how you learned how to gamble, and you're
yes.
talking about Chuck-a-Luck. Yeah, we used to always go out to the Crabtree Festival when I was a kid, and it was always like, yeah, there were all the little old ladies who were trying to boost their resume before they got into heaven. Like, it was it was like cramming for the test. And so they were volunteering at the fish fries and the whole thing in Crabtree. And then there was me and my brother and my siblings, my sisters, all elbowing our way in at the Chuckaluck table, trying to win a little bit of cash, like taking our savings, our birthday money, and spending it on the Chuckaluck wheel. So I love that discussion because I could definitely very much relate to what you guys were talking about.
Was my mom one of those church ladies?
Still is.
My mom, she's very active in the church for sure, and she's always volunteering. But I don't know. See, what she does is she always just wins money off of her friends playing cards. That's where she racks up her dough for
sure.
She's
a card shark.
That's right. Yeah, she has a really great memory, and definitely
she's a card counter. That's what you're telling us. Mom counts cards.
She knows how to play the cards right. You got to have good cards, she always says. That's always what she says. But then when you get the good cards, you have to know how to play them, and she does both.
You've got to know when to hold them and when to fold them, Mike.
That's right.
Know when to walk away and when to run. Hey, thanks for getting up early, man. Go back to sleep, okay?
Yeah, what happened? Kabali bumped me out of my spot? What was that all about?
There was things moving around. We had a bunch of moving parts. You can argue with Kabali the next time you see him or just send him an angry text. That's what the rest of us do.
I don't see him because he covers the Steelers, but somehow my normal Friday 8 a.m. spot got bumped by Kabali. So.
There was a Michael McHenry movement in there. Ben Charrington threw everybody off this morning. He's at 9 o'clock, so blame him maybe if you want to.
Listen, Malkin's
guys,
knee.
I know where I stand. Now it's very obvious where I stand in the pecking order, so that's fine. I understand.
I'm sorry your feelings were hurt, Mike. Go back to sleep.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
See you. Mike DeFabo, the Post-Gazette, covers the Pens. If they're going to open up any kind of cap space, Hextall's got to see what he can do as far as Pettersson or Matheson, Zucker, like you suggested, Jim. All those guys that we just debated, should they be available in the expansion draft? Look to make a move if you can. If you want to open up cap space to actually do something on the free agent market, that's the way to do it. Otherwise, if they just roll into next year with the same team, understanding that very same team, for the most part, could have beaten the Islanders had it not been for their goaltending. You still got to make a couple of tweaks.
That's the thing you always come back to.
Yeah, it all comes back to goaltending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.